Welcome to the Leadership Decoded podcast. Here, we provide you practical tips to help you lead at your very best at work and in your everyday life. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, a former U.S. Army officer and combat veteran, a current leadership and team development workshop facilitator, and executive education adjunct professor. We want our teams to truly own the work that they do. Sometimes we don't know how to get them on board. Today, we're going to explore three different components that will help you and your team collectively own the work, the process, and the outcome that you have ahead. We're going to dive into accountability, trust, and teamwork, and how they relate to ownership. Let's dive in.
This episode is brought to you by Sweat Tent, the industry leader of the portable at-home wood-burning sauna. Being a leader can be stressful. That's why I've been a sauna user for many years. Did you know that consistent sauna usage 3 to 4 times a week not only relieves stress and improves sleep, but it also enhances your physical well-being and fosters mental resilience and cognitive clarity to be a better leader. And you no longer have to go to a crowded gym or buy one of those expensive and bulky at-home setups to experience the benefits of a sauna. Sweat Tent is the most portable and affordable at-home sauna on the market. The setup takes minutes and can reach 200 degrees in under 30 minutes. Harness the power of the Sweat Tent sauna to lead with clarity and poise. Sweat out stress, ignite creativity, and emerge a more focused leader. All Leadership Decoded listeners will receive $100 off when you use code LEAD100. Visit sweattent.com today to get $100 off your purchase with code LEAD100 at checkout. Again, that's sweattent.com to get $100 off with code LEAD100. Sweat Tent, improving your ability to lead at work and in your everyday life.
It takes time and effort to create a high-performing team. Leadership abilities is one of the most important areas to focus on for team development. Dr. Will Ramey understands the impact that leadership can have on team performance. He's led a wide variety of teams in the U.S. Army and corporate companies, from being a first-line supervisor to a senior-level leader. His programs focus on experiential learning for immediate application, transformational growth through mindset and behavioral shifts, and sustainable change to drive long-term success. If you're tired of traditional learning and development programs and are ready for a hands-on learning experience that will increase knowledge and provide practical application directly to your work environment, reach out today. Visit drwilliamramey.com to find a solution for your team. Dr. William Ramey, positive mindset, proactive approach, proven research. When no one owns the work, the process, or the outcome, everything falls apart. Think about that. You can't have one single person who is the owner of the work to be done, how it's being done, the processes that you need in place, and the overall outcome and results. As much as we love to have one single person assigned as responsible for the outcome, which is typically the team leader, you can't own that all on your own. You've got to be able to bring people together who want to own the goal, the objective, that achievement that you're collectively there to do. And more in work settings, whether you're an entrepreneur, whether you're a small, mid-sized business owner, or you're a large corporation, you need teams to execute and do the work that's being done. You think about that. Missed deadlines, finger-pointing, excuses. All this happens when ownership isn't present. You'll point to somebody, you'll blame somebody else. If you would have only done this, if I would have only done that, I can't believe this wasn't done on time. Those are marks of teams that don't collectively own the outcome together. They don't care about being supportive to one another. Now, let's flip that. When you have teams that own the outcome, they'll say, yep, if things go wrong, they'll own, that was my mistake. I could have done more of this. I could have done more of that. They'll start to self-evaluate. They'll start to think about what happened along the way. And when you have teams that own things and they go right, because most of the time they will start going right, they show up prepared. They show up because they want to be at their best and they want to help their colleagues be at their best. They show up with trust. They show up with support and communication and willingness to navigate conflict through teamwork because they want to own that outcome. They want to achieve something greater than they could on their own. Ownership isn't about assigning blame. Ownership is about building pride and purpose and shared responsibility. And there's three components that I want to get into today that will help strengthen ownership within your team. Accountability, trust, and teamwork. Let's get into what accountability is first. This is really the power of psychological ownership. Accountability is not about micromanaging. It's not about saying you're accountable for this and you're accountable for that, or punishing people when they make mistakes for their functional responsibility. Accountability is about creating a shared belief in the responsibility to show up for your team and the work that you're there to do, the task that you are individually responsible for that feeds the greater good, the greater task at hand. And when you have a culture of accountability, it shifts from using accountability as a disciplinary tool to accountability as a way of having a positive team dynamic and supportive atmosphere for the work that's being done. There's a couple different layers of accountability here when you think about it. You have to be accountable to yourself. So that means being, you know, responsible for your own well-being, being prepared, having knowledge, skills, abilities, and showing up at your very best. And then being accountable to others, knowing how your work supports theirs, how their work supports yours, that interdependency of work, and being able to maybe sometimes even say, hey, I can identify my friend over here is having a bad day. I need to help pick them up, dust them off. Maybe I need to carry a little bit more of their load. Maybe I see that they're not quite grasping something the way that they should, but I have an understanding of it. Let me go help them, bring them up and raise their skill set and raise their knowledge set. So it's this ebb and flow of accountability to self and to others. Now, when you're the team leader, you can tap into accountability through intrinsic motivation. So if you haven't read Daniel Pink's book, Drive, it is a phenomenal book about intrinsic motivation. It's built on three components. And I found these three components relate to accountability. The first is autonomy. If you want to build accountability within your team, you've got to be able to understand what drives your team intrinsically. And first is giving people space to make their own decisions and feel like they have control. If you can give your team members autonomy and they have a little bit of freedom of maneuver, of choice of how work gets done, they're going to feel a sense of control over that. They're going to take more ownership. It's their approach to their work. The second is relatedness. Help your team feel connected to the mission and to each other. When people share a feeling of being a member of a team, I feel like I belong. I feel like I am here. And you can see that. You know, sometimes teams have, you know, have physical signs and symbols of the team that they're on. In the military, you see that all the time. We've got teams that have, you know, a mascot or a unit mascot or a unit slogan or things like that. You bring people together. When people can see themselves and identify as being a member of this team, they feel connected to the work that they're doing. So they have control through autonomy. They feel connected through relatedness, which is going to make them want to support each other more and more. And then the third is competence. Are you giving your team the ability to gain skills that they have the knowledge and the resources that they need to win? So when you can raise people's competence and you can make sure that they have everything that they need to be successful, they'll be more confident, they'll feel better about the work that they're doing, they know that they have the tools and resources they need. So when you have control, when you feel like you're a member of a team and you've got the resources you need, you're going to be accountable. There's nothing else that necessarily that you need to show up at your best and be supportive of others. So the first one is accountability. When you design work to meet those needs, accountability becomes natural. It becomes ingrained in the team atmosphere, and it's not a, you know, synonym for who am I going to hold responsible for when things go wrong. And I'd rather have the former, not the latter, wouldn't you? The second element here is trust. The foundation of ownership is trust. People don't take ownership when they feel unsafe, when they feel unseen, when they feel unsupported. They have to feel trusted, which is a great feeling when you feel trusted, and they have to feel like they can trust others. So you do this through the three C's. Caring. Do you believe, does your team believe that you genuinely care about them as a team leader? And flip that question. Do you genuinely care about your team, and do you believe that they care about you? Because it's a two-way street. Character. Does your team believe you'll do what's right even when it's hard? Do you believe your team members will do what's right even when you're not looking? And then the third is competence. Does your team believe that you know what you're doing? And do you believe and have you given your team members the resources they need to be competent at the work that they're doing? Whether that's training, whether that's on-the-job training, whether that's pairing them up with somebody else. So trust is a big one, as is autonomy. When we were preparing to deploy, you know, trust isn't built necessarily. It's not started in the heat of things, in the thick of things. It's built over time. And when I was leading my team preparing to deploy, trust was built in the training environment. My team needed to understand that I cared about them, that I was showing up each and every day, believing in doing what's right, making the hard decisions, and that I was a competent tactical leader for my team. I wasn't going to put them in danger. And when we got in danger, we were going to have the wherewithal, the knowledge, skills, abilities, and resources to maneuver through it successfully. And this showed up for me in a situational training exercise on a convoy. We were just doing convoy training. I just read the Center for Army Lessons Learned brand new handbook on convoys. And the short version is, you know, we went through the training exercise and we were taking, you know, we heard small arms fire off in the distance. We might have even taken a few, direct fire shots from small arms weapons in the training environment. And it was my call to push through because our main mission was to deliver this logistical package from point A to point B. Well, I knew in a convoy in theater, we were going to have up-armored vehicles, and small arms fire doesn't typically penetrate that up-armored steel, and we didn't have an improvised explosive device that we encountered. So we maneuvered through. I got my accountability, my safety, my, you know, supply report, and boom, we were done. My team was high-fiving, and hey, that was a good training exercise. We got the log pack delivered on time successfully without taking any injury and XYZ. And all of a sudden, I hear this big bellowing voice come at me. Lieutenant Ramey, get over here. And it was the battalion commander. The battalion commander starts asking me, why didn't you stop when you heard that small arms fire? Why didn't you stop at this point when you heard that? Why didn't you stop your convoy and get out and XYZ? And he starts reaming me. And my soldiers are behind me, watching and waiting to understand what happened. Now, I took that chewing like I was supposed to. I said, sir, because I read the handbook on tactics, techniques, and procedures for convoys, and we're in a buttoned up armored vehicle, and we wouldn't have stopped for small arm fire if we didn't have a injury or a disabled vehicle. He says, go back through that six lanes again, and you stop next time you get fired at. So here I am in a quandary. I was given a direct order from my battalion commander to go back through and stop, but I needed to maintain trust and accountability with my team. So I brought them together. I talked it over with my NCOIC first and gave him the situation. He shook his head and didn't understand. And I said, look, we've got an obligation here to get some training. We're going to get some good training. The tactic that we are going to perform is not one we're going to perform in theater when we get deployed into a combat zone. So we explained it that way. We're going to go back through. This time when we get hit with small arms fire, we're going to stop. And I told my team, this is for the training exercise only. If we take small arms fire on a convoy in Iraq, we're not going to stop unless we're disabled or somebody's injured or hurt, but we still have to get out of that danger zone. But for the purposes of this training event, we're going to stop and see how the training situation evolves. So my team understood that. They understood why we were going back through. They understood that I knew the difference between what was the best thing to do in theater and what we were actually doing in training. I gave clarity to why we were doing it. They were able to trust me because I showed up and my audio matched my video, so to speak, of what I was saying and why I was saying it. In that moment, I didn't blame the battalion commander. I didn't push off somebody else. I took ownership of it. I explained the purpose of why we're going back through. And I really built trust and accountability with my team because I was accountable to my boss's boss, the battalion commander. I was accountable to my peers. I was accountable to my team as why we're doing what we're doing. And I built trust through the three C's in that very moment. To me, it was an example really of how our team took ownership over what we were doing, why we were doing it, and the outcome we had. And the training exercise played out, and we got to experience then taking casualty in a training environment, how we're going to call a CAS evac, a casualty evacuation, and how we're going to, you know, if this were to happen. It just happened to be that they used the wrong technique, in my opinion, for the exercise, but the training value was there had we stopped. And we went back through and got that. So we did that, which led us to, you know, talk about, let's segue back here to teamwork, the third element. Nobody goes it alone. Even in the most driven person you have as a team can't carry the entire load alone. Ownership spreads when teams support one another. They clearly communicate and they frequently communicate what's happening and why, and they engage in healthy conflict to surface ideas and solve problems. And that situational training exercise, I got to do just that with my team. I communicated clearly and frequently the whys of what we were doing. Here's what we're going to experience, and here's what we're going to do in the future. I showed support to my superior and the teams that planned that, even though I was under pressure. I didn't crack. I didn't blame. I took ownership of it. And I engaged in healthy conflict with my boss's boss, and my team got to see that. I don't think this is right, but here's what we're going to do. So we were able to navigate that. Teamwork is all about being supportive, communicating, and working through conflict in a healthy way to get to a better outcome or objective. So when we think about this kind of teamwork, it turns my work into our mission, our work. It's not me, it's not I, it's we and us. And if you want to, your team to take ownership, give them something to believe in, give them the support to rise to the occasion. And you can build your team's ownership up through accountability, trust, and teamwork. Ownership isn't a demand. You can't force it upon people. It's a culture and a belief. It's built over time. Thank you for tuning in to Leadership Decoded here in the Loop Internet Studio. If you enjoyed today's episode, give us a like, drop us a comment, or better yet, download and share this episode with your fellow leaders. Help get the word out about how this show is helping you to be able to lead at your very best. If you want to keep the conversation going, you can connect with me on LinkedIn at Dr. William Ramey, on Instagram at Leadership Decoded Pod, or on Instagram at WillRamey1. And if you have a topic that you'd like to see covered on the show, email me at will@onthestacks.com, and we'll take that topic and turn it into an episode to help you lead at your very best. I'm your host, Dr. Will Ramey, and I'll see you the next time you press play.